When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to this instant reaction podcast following the Sacramento Kings eliminating the Golden State Warriors from the postseason. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We are going to be covering the 9-10 West playoff as, the Golden State Warriors are done following that Sacramento Kings victory in the play-in. I said playoff. And while I do want to give the flowers to the Sacramento Kings for an unbelievable performance on home court, the story of this game is going to be what we saw from the Golden State Warriors. Just an abysmal performance from one of the true dynasties of the last while. And it all, I'm not going to say like the whole thing fell apart, but I mean, we'll get to that a little bit later, but just awful, awful basketball from the Golden State Warriors this evening. They were sloppy with the basketball. They had 16 turnovers in this game. A lot of them were just dumb. Like Draymond stepping on the out-of-bounds line on a ball that was going to go out of bounds on Sacramento, could have just left it alone and got it, or done what he has done a number of times and been able to save that ball and keep it in play. Some very sloppy passes, some awful handling, just this was not a very well-played basketball game from a Golden State perspective. And credit Sacramento for taking advantage. Also, the Golden State Warriors just killed on the glass. Sacramento, 15 offensive rebounds. I think second chance points were 23-7 in favor of the Kings. At least it was at one point in the game when that differential was still substantial enough for it to be impactful on the game. Obviously, that changed as it went on. But there was just no answer down low. Sacramento was able to do whatever they wanted. Looney was the only one who was providing any resistance in the block for Golden State. And Sacramento was just eating them up all day. And again, it was just everything's going to come back to how awful the Golden State Warriors looked in this game. The offense was slow and it was stale. They mentioned on the broadcast quite a bit. Until the fourth quarter, we didn't really see Steph moving all that much. It was honestly, like, this looked nothing like the Golden State Warriors that we've seen. It was weird. I was thinking about it while this game was happening. They looked old and really young at the same time. Really young in how sloppy they were with the basketball, some of the decisions they were making, and everything just felt rushed from this team. But they also looked old because they looked slow. And there was no movement on offense. And shots were coming up short. And defensively, they couldn't keep up with Sacramento. Like, it just, look, we'll get into it later. They look done. Like, they have some big decisions to make this offseason, but this team looks cooked. And obviously their season is over now, but I'm talking bigger picture. This team looked done. And it didn't help that Klay Thompson went 0 of 10 from the field and missed some really important shots that could have helped slow some things down and get Golden State rolling in this game. But there was nothing offensively. Like, Steve Kerr has forgotten more about basketball since I've started saying the sentence than I will ever know. But I thought the offense that they ran in this game was just horrendous. And they did nothing to help Steph get open and did nothing to adjust when you're seeing Sacramento just kill you down low. And Looney is right there playing pretty well on the defensive side. And he is what he is offensively. But it's not like they finished with 94 points. It's not like this team was rolling out there with this dynamic offense anyway. Like, it felt like they were just waiting for, no, it'll pick up, no, it'll pick up, no, it'll pick up. And just, it never did. Aside from late in the second quarter, when they were able to get it to within, I believe it was 6, there was nothing that this offense was doing that it felt like Sacramento couldn't really handle. Aside from Curry, you really didn't feel comfortable from a Golden State standpoint with anyone with the basketball. Like, from a Sacramento standpoint, who were you worried about? Well, Curry, obviously. But then after that, Draymond, whatever. He had like a couple chances to There was one play where I was like, okay, no, this is kind of done. Where there was a switch off of a handoff, and he ended up with, I believe it was Murray. I think they might have been smaller than that. Either way, he ends up with a guard slash forward on him. And it's like, he could have just backed that dude up and gone in for a layup. And I get that that's not necessarily his game, but he just passed it off and floated off into the corner, which isn't his game either. It was just that they had nothing. Wiggins, they would get to the rim and then miss layups. Clay couldn't hit a thing. Kuminga, you felt all right. But like, really, the other one that you had some confidence in was Moody, that he might actually get something going. It just felt like the wrong decision was being made all of the time with this team. And again, there was no movement. It was all just one-on-one and forcing up some jump shots that weren't falling. And awful. Just absolutely awful. From a team that we're just not used to seeing that from, with everyone together. And the big one again is Clay, 0-for-10. He now goes into free agency off of just a terrible performance here in this play-in game. And he is obviously a different type of a player now, and is obviously now going to need to take this offseason to adjust to that role and figure out what this next act in his career looks like. Because the Clay of a few years ago and the pre-injury is no longer here. So he needs to figure out how to maximize his abilities and get his game back on track. Because that was, and he had been playing better, but this game was really, really tough to watch. Now, credit Sacramento for what they were able to do in this game. The starters killed Golden State in this matchup. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but anytime Golden State crept back in, it was because the benches were out there. When it was the starters, it was just a snowball rolling downhill. Offensively, they were able to get a lot of what they wanted. You have Murray, who had an amazing game, 32 points, 8 of 13 from 3. He was big to get them rolling early. Sabonis was, I thought, excellent in pushing the ball up the floor in the fast break, creating some mismatches. And it was really interesting. They had him on Curry for a little bit, and there was a play where he comes out. It was on a switch. They didn't design, like, okay, now you guard him. But they had Sabonis on Curry. Curry turns it over, and now Sabonis is the first one back, and he's able to go in and get a layup. And he was pushing the ball up the floor a lot. He was making some really, really good decisions. Excuse me, with the ball. Fox was electric in this game. And then Ellis, out of nowhere. And he was big in a couple of games down the stretch for Sacramento. Not big enough, they were in ninth. But he was big in a couple of moments. And he came up with big shot after big shot in this game. And he was a big part of what they did defensively. Where they were in Steph's face the entire game. And it was blitz after blitz after blitz after blitz. We talked in the other instant reaction following Lakers-Pelicans about how LeBron was waiting and waiting and waiting. And then eventually New Orleans couldn't help themselves. And a double team came. And it was pass, pass, pass. And it was over. That didn't happen in this one. That it was Steph would touch the ball and just swarmed. And then you get the ball out of his hands. And as we talked about before, you don't trust anyone else on Golden State with it right now. And so it often ended in a clanged layup or a missed jump shot or just a turnover. And then Sacramento would go back the other way. And they were so good at pushing the floor and creating mismatches in the fast break. And but the defense, like, I think it wore on Steph. He looked frustrated. He looked tired. And he looked beat. And that is what the Kings did to him with that pressure defensively. But Ellis, with what he was able to do and the intensity that he was able to play with, allowed them to use that strategy for this entire game. And that, I think, really did kind of wear these guys down. And then again, it was a full team effort on the glass. These guys don't have a huge monster out there, right? Like, whoever goes up against Jonas Valanciunas for the Kings in the eighth place game is going to be at a significant size disadvantage. This is not a big bruising team. It was all effort. They were out-hustling the Warriors to every basketball. They were winning so many kind of 50-50 type plays that would end up going their way, creating multiple chances, and eventually they were just on fire shooting. Golden State was late on a number of different rotations as well, so the ball movement for Sacramento really put Golden State in a bit of a bind. It was an excellent game by the Sacramento Kings. We get on the Warriors, and I do think when you look at this game, it is more about Golden State losing it than it is Sacramento winning it. But credit to the Kings. Like, they came out and really took advantage of a beatdown Golden State Warriors team. And again, just like all the stars were hitting their shots in this one. Sabonis, Fox, Ellis, Murray, all of them were making some really good plays with the basketball and putting up some shots. Now, the bench is a concern going forward as they now have the eighth place game against New Orleans. Not the deepest of teams, but deeper than five, which is basically what we saw from Sacramento. Obviously, the big question going into that game is, what do we get from Zion Williamson? As Shams reports that it is a hamstring injury, and there are tests to be done coming up tomorrow on Wednesday. So that's going to be important, obviously, because Zion had one of the more remarkable games that you'll see in that first game. Like, he was tremendous against Los Angeles. And if he is not in the lineup, then things open up a little bit. But I don't think that Sacramento has an answer for JV down low. I don't think they have an answer if Ingram and McCollum can get going. And I think they'll face at least a little bit of resistance defensively. So we'll see how well this offense can get going in a couple of days. But still, like, all the credit in the world for Sacramento for what they did. That home court was great. And like, maybe this is looking down on them a little bit, but given the injuries that they had with no Monk, no Herter, you have Ellis coming in, who you've like never heard of before, and he's making big shots in these games. Davion Mitchell has kind of taken a step forward. Obviously, Murray takes a step forward in this season. And for them, given everything that they're going for, and given how last season ended, you almost feel like this is a successful season now for Sacramento. They got a home play-in game. The crowd gets to end the season on a high note. We'll see. Like, maybe they win against the New Orleans Pelicans. I don't like their chances against Oklahoma City after that. Like, it seems like they are specifically built to not take advantage of any of the problems that a team could cause Oklahoma City. But this feels like a successful season now for Sacramento. No, if you'd said at the beginning of the year, hey, you're going to win one play-in game, but you're not going to get in, I think people would be relatively upset. But given where this team is at now and how things have progressed with injuries and whatnot this season, I think that Sacramento can view this as a successful year and now look to grow on it going into next season in a ridiculously difficult Western Conference. As for Golden State, like I said before, this feels like the end. This feels like the Tennessee Titans beating up on the New England Patriots to end that. This feels like the Yankees losing to the Marlins and then the Boston Red Sox in the early 2000s to end that run. This feels like LeBron and the Heat losing to the Spurs, although a little bit different because I was in the NBA by God Finals, not a game to see if you could finish eighth. But this just, the way it all looked and how slow it all looked and how sloppy it all was, this feels like the real end for, like, the real competitive era for this Golden State team. Now, there's a full offseason ahead. Free agency doesn't look awesome, but this team has gotten creative before. They went out and acquired Chris Paul with the Jordan Poole contract. But what they do with Klay, what they end up doing with Draymond going forward is going to be so fascinating. We'll get into bigger picture stuff with Golden State coming up tomorrow, but this felt like the end. With Klay going 0-for-10, with Curry looking frustrated and worn down and beaten up, Draymond making uncharacteristic mistakes, Steve Kerr just with a stunned look on the sidelines, losing to a team that Curry put up 50 against in Game 7 a season ago, and watching as you went on an amazing run late in the year and could still only get to 10th and had to hold off a charge from the Houston Rockets to get that 10th spot. Like, it just feels like they have to work so hard for everything they get now. So if it wasn't last year, this year really does kind of solidify that this part, that this era for the Golden State Warriors, it's over. And 2022, I think, helped extend it and turn it really into a dynasty, in my opinion, 4 championships in 7 years, even with a couple of down years with the injury issues that they had. It feels like you can now put something at the back part, behind a dash. It's no longer 2014 to blank. It's 2014 to 2024. An amazing run, but it does feel kind of cooked after what we saw tonight. Should be a fun one. for the West play-in against Sacramento against New Orleans. We'll have a lot to figure out before we get to that game coming up on Friday. As far as the East is concerned, we're not going to be doing one of these for either East games tomorrow. Just have some stuff going on, and quite frankly, those games don't interest me as much as these games did tonight. But we'll see what Miami and Philadelphia can do. Coming up tomorrow on Couch Potato Diary, because that's going to do it for this one today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have Dynamite, my Toronto Raptors podcast, going to do grades for the players and what you can look for from this team in the offseason. On the regular Couch Potato Diary, we're going to do some bigger picture stuff surrounding these games, plus a wild night in the NHL ends with the playoffs now set. So we'll talk about all of that, and the Blue Jays get a win over the New York Yankees. Plus, we got some combat sports stuff to get to as well. So that's going to do it for tonight. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I'd love to keep doing more of these, so make sure you share it with your friends if you enjoyed this. Like the video, subscribe. If you're listening in podcast form, make sure you subscribe and leave a review. Thank you guys so much, and I'll talk to all of you tomorrow.